This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. You can now watch our television show on Free Speech TV every weekday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. FSTV is on Dish Network, DirecTV, and Roku. The Environmental Working Group has just released a new and disturbing study about chromium-6 contamination in the drinking water supplies of Americans. The contaminant is associated with Erin Brockovich, the California activist who became famous for her tireless efforts at demanding justice for toxic exposure in the town of Hinckley. Well, EWG's latest report analyzes federal data from drinking water tests done in municipalities nationwide, and what the group found was that 200 million Americans in cities in all 50 states are being exposed to dangerous levels of chromium-6 in their water. Chromium-6 is associated with a host of dangerous diseases, from skin rashes all the way to cancer. It arises from a variety of industries, most commonly coal-fired power plants and unlined coal ash dump sites. Although the Environmental Protection Agency has determined that there is contamination in drinking water, to date, it has done little to address it. My guest is David Andrews. He's a senior scientist with the Environmental Working Group. Welcome to the program, David.
A pleasure to be on today. Thank you for having me.
So first, this is the same contaminant that Erin Brockovich became famous for exposing, but that happened decades ago. Now we're finding out that that same chemical is contaminating the drinking water supplies of hundreds of millions of Americans. How is this possible?
That's correct. Our analytical techniques and our ability to detect the chemical have improved with time, as well as our scientific understanding of the health risks and the health concerns of consuming water with this contaminant in it.
And so I understand when the contaminant was first sort of discovered to be this toxic chemical exposing that people are exposed to, that it was determined, the safe levels were determined in California. These are 0.02 parts per billion. And on EWG's website, you have a very handy way of imagining that basically this is one part per billion is like a single drop in an Olympic-sized swimming pool. So 0.02 parts per billion. We're talking about very, 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 very tiny levels of exposure can be considered dangerous.
That's right. Incredibly small amounts of this chemical start to become a concern when they're in your drinking water. And so our value and the number that we calculated of over 200 million Americans consuming this contaminant, this was based on the public health goal in California. And so this is a value calculated by California scientists as the de minimis risk. This is the level of very minimal or no concern. It represents one excess cancer per million people.
So what did you find? 200 million Americans being exposed to this. Are we talking about, rather than 0.2 parts per billion, most people are being exposed to maybe 0.03 parts per billion? Or does it vary quite wildly? And are there places where the contamination levels are really unacceptable?
There's a significant range in values. It ranged from not detect to values that averaged close to 10 parts per billion or even higher.
10 parts per billion. Wow.
That's correct. And that's hundreds of times above the level that California state scientists recommend as the public health goal. At the same time, the California drinking water, and California is the only state that has a specific drinking water standard for hexavalent chromium, and that is 10 parts per billion. So it is still, in California, you can have drinking water with chromium-6 in it up to a level of 10 parts per billion, and it would still be legal in the state.
Okay, so that doesn't make any sense. So if the safe level is no more than 0.2 parts per billion, and only one state in the country has any standards, but those standards are so high that it basically allows for much more exposure, then basically it's like there is no standard for chromium.
Right. So what that implies is that the legal limits incorporate costs in political decision making, whereas the public health goal is the level that scientists say is really what you want in your drinking water. So there's a disconnect between what is ideal and what the politicians and the industry argues is achievable in drinking water. And that's where there's a little bit of back and forth.
And so essentially Erin Brockovich's fight is far from over.
That's correct. Her fight is far from over. And one of the big concerns we have and why we released this report is that the federal government has not updated its drinking water standards for chromium. And they don't actually have a specific drinking water regulation for chromium 6. The standard was set for total chromium, which incorporates both chromium 3, an essential nutrient, and this other much more harmful form of chromium 6.
So let's talk about hexavalent or chromium 6. And that's right, I should be saying chromium 6, not just chromium, because chromium could be chromium 3, a different chemical compound. Where does chromium 6 come from? How does it enter our drinking water supplies to begin with? I mentioned coal-fired power plants. Is that the main source?
That is a potential source. It's also was used in cooling towers for electric power plants. It's also used in chrome plating, leather, and wood treatments. It's used in a variety of industries and potentially released into the environment by many different uses. Chromium 6 can also occur in naturally in groundwater, depending on the underground rock formations and the pH of the water as it travels underground. Hmm.
And so when it comes from, say, industry sources, way in which that can happen is when a coal-fired power plant dumps its coal ash, which is the byproduct of this process, into a pit that it doesn't line. When it rains, the chromium 6 present in that coal ash seeps into the ground and enters the drinking water supply. Do we know that that is one common way in which contamination occurs?
Yes, we do know that that does occur in some communities, especially in areas surrounding these coal ash, unlined coal ash pits where this waste has been dumped.
Now, shouldn't the government be holding coal-fired power plants accountable? I mean, the EPA has, I understand, under Obama, been trying to reduce the number of new coal-powered plants, particularly because of climate change concerns. But chromium 6 concerns should also be playing into it, right?
Correct. You know, the federal government should hold accountable all polluters, both the coal-fired power plants as well as other industries that may be releasing chromium to the environment.
What is the EPA doing? Has the EPA even acknowledged that chromium 6 is a dangerous chemical?
That's a great question. So the EPA is kind of in endless bureaucratic delays, and many of these are due to industry pushback. The National Toxicology Program did very important tests in the mid-2000s, raising concerns for ingestion of chromium 6. These were animal tests, but they raised a lot of concerns, and it's really the gold standard of toxicity testing. The Environmental Protection Agency used that information and it drafted a health risk assessment of chromium 6 in 2010, but they have yet to complete that assessment. Completing that assessment is an essential step before they can actually set a national drinking water regulation.
So right now, we're sort of in a wild west when it comes to chromium 6 contamination, it sounds like. What could the main issue be? Is it that the cost of cleanup would be astronomical?
That's part of the issue. And I think it's really concerns from potentially regulated industries. There's been significant funding from the American Chemistry Council, as well as the Electric Power Research Institute, to fund studies that counter the federal government's arguments for setting a safe drinking water level. So they're actually trying, and this is what has led to the current six-year delay in completing the draft risk assessment, is really a number of studies being funded by an industry that could end up being regulated.
So basically the EPA is saying we're waiting for the industry to give us its scientific results, which of course are likely to show that that chromium 6 is not a dangerous chemical.
That's exactly what's happened. And it's extremely concerning, especially in light of the fact that since 1996, when the Safe Drinking Water Act was amended, the EPA has has never used its authority to regulate a new contaminant in drinking water.
Wow. So basically the Safe Drinking Water Act has not even been used effectively. It hasn't even, it's not something that the EPA has even made use of.
Right. In the past two decades, they have not been able to regulate a new contaminant. And this is extremely concerning because science is continually developing. We learn more about how some of these chemicals interact with our bodies and can cause damage. And yet the agency is unable to incorporate modern science in its advice, as well as its drinking water standards.
Now, David, I understand in EWG's report on Chromium 6, you use one example or offer up one example of where an industry has sort of fought against the public interest, and that's North Carolina with Duke Energy. What exactly have North Carolinians been fighting for in terms of cleanup of their water supply? How has Duke responded?
Right. Duke Energy has fought back in terms of cleaning up chromium-6 contamination of wells surrounding coal ash plants. And so this is the waste from coal generation leaching into drinking water. And the Duke Energy has essentially responded by saying the drinking water is fine. The chromium-6 in the water is not a concern.
So basically, right now, Americans could be or are being exposed to dangerous levels of this toxic chemical. The EPA on the federal level is doing very little about it. There are, I'm assuming, patchwork attempts around the country, state by state. You mentioned California has is the only state with a level standard, but the standard is far too low. What other efforts are there, at least on a local level, to try to regulate this dangerous chemical?
There's few local efforts to regulate this chemical. You know, it really takes a significant scientific expertise. And at the end of the day, what we're really looking for is federal guidance and a federal health protective drinking water standard that communities across the country can then follow.
What is the worst place to live in if you want to deal, you know, if you want to sort of look at chromium contamination? Your study looked at data from around the country. Can you point to some egregious examples?
Well, there's the levels really vary. There's a number of places around the country, such as Phoenix, Arizona, Norman, Oklahoma, and a few communities in California that had extremely high levels of chromium-6 in the drinking water.
And I understand that EWG has an interactive map where you can basically put in your zip code no matter where you are in the country to see what levels you might be exposed to?
That's correct. On our website, ewg.org, we link to an interactive map with all of the federal testing results available. And you can actually click by county and then into the individual utilities and all of their test results. We also have a report with more details on chromium-6, the health concerns, and why there is no federal standard.
In the meantime, while Americans are waiting on the EPA to actually do something to protect them, to actually implement the Clean Water Act, is there something that individuals can do to protect themselves?
There are options in terms of home water filters if you are concerned about the levels in your house or in your community. There's a few different options. The most common recommended filter is called a reverse osmosis filter. It's a type of technology. Those filters are slightly more expensive. They cost a couple hundred dollars. There is one other filter called a zero water filter. It's made by a specific company that uses ion exchange, which is much less expensive, but also certified to remove chromium-6 from your drinking water. So there are a few different options available. And these different filters are certified by NSF International about whether or not they remove chromium-6. So it's worth looking to see if the filter is certified to remove hexavalent chromium, and then it can be used in your house if you are concerned.
It's a very sad state of affairs when individuals have to basically keep themselves safe because their government won't step in to do it. Finally, David, if the government does nothing and these levels, if 200 million Americans continue to be exposed to these levels, do you have a sense of how many extra cancers we're talking about here?
Right. So we calculated this in terms of over 10,000 cancers by the end of the century, just based on using the California public health goal and the levels that were occurring across the country.
10,000 extra cancers.
Yes, it's a large number, but it's a long period of time. But it is a significant concern, and we really think this issue requires federal attention.
What can people do to, you know, in addition to trying to find their own filter, is there anything, what sort of political action can they take to pressure the EPA?
Yes, we have an online petition that we're sending to the EPA asking them to take action on this chemical. And it's also discussing with your local utility as well as your local government in terms of pressing for action. In terms, you know, Americans deserve clean drinking water is the bottom line.
So people could go to that, to your website, find where they, you know, look up the interactive map. And if it looks like they are being exposed to very dangerous levels, they can pressure their own local utilities to do something about it as well.
Correct. That's a step we recommend.
And the Environmental Working Group's website is?
EWG.org.
That's EWG.org. We'll post a link to that from our website later today, where you can also get a hold of that petition David mentioned. David, thank you so much for joining us.
A pleasure. Have a great day.
You too. David Andrews is a senior scientist with the Environmental Working Group. And by the way, any website that we mention on the air, if you're driving when you hear it or just don't have time to write it down, simply go to our website at risingupwithsonali.com and click on the story headline. And that should take you to all of the information for that story, as well as any websites we mention on the air. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/RU with Sonali.